And a pleasant good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, as well as Ag News 890 and Farm News in Rio Country, Thunder 106.1 in Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. Well, as we start out with what's going on inside agriculture, Brazil's government statistic agency this week announced the agency will indefinitely suspend its farm census, which gathers data on cattle, crops, and the rural economy. The statistics agency, IGBE, says the suspension comes as budget cuts have forced Brazil to cut back on economic research. The agency also suspended hiring 1,400 temporary researchers who are expected to conduct economic data research next year. That according to Reuters. Brazil is in the middle of its worst economic recession in several decades and a deepening political crisis after Brazil's Congress voted to impeach the country's president. The Wall Street Journal reported earlier this month that agriculture remains Brazil's one and only economic bright spot. Brazil's agriculture agency expects farmers to produce a record soybean crop this year and a near-record corn crop. Also, Syngenta's CEO says the company remains on a pace to complete the takeover by China National Chemical, or ChemChina, by the end of the year. ChemChina offered more than $43 billion in cash for the Swiss company in February. Syngenta CEO John Ramsey told Bloomberg yesterday that the process of getting approval from regulators was moving according to its original timetable. However, some analysts warn the deal could be delayed by regulators, including the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, let's find out what's going on inside agriculture in Washington, D.C. While the U.S. House Appropriations Committee included controversial amendments in a spending bill for USDA and the Food and Drug Administration, but avoided reopening the farm bill, House appropriators blocked an amendment to roll back $3 billion in biotech education outreach funding while voting to bar USDA spending to inspect equine slaughterhouses. Senate appropriators are expected to consider a similar anti-horse slaughter amendment. Now, a third House amendment further delays USDA's Grain Inspection, Packers and Stockyards Administration rule to address abusive contracting and marketing practices. However, the committee made no changes in key funding, avoiding new cuts to crop insurance or farm payment programs. Harold Rogers, a Kentucky Republican and chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, applauded the $451 million reduction to the $21.3 billion spending bill.
That reflects thoughtful, responsible reductions to inefficient or lower priority programs. No doubt some difficult decisions had to be made, but the end result is a bill that prioritizes activities that provide the most benefit to the American people. Critical food and drug safety programs, important rural development programs, and effective agricultural research and support programs.
Agriculture research would receive a 30% boost, while rural development programs would see about 4% more funding. Both the Environmental Quality Incentives Program and the Conservation Stewardship Program would see cuts. Democrats joined Republicans in supporting the bill, including top Ag Appropriations Democrat Sam Farr of California.
While the package is not bad, it does have a few items that need to be mentioned. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission needs adequate funding to implement the regulations that we in Congress approved and asked them to do. With an appropriation of $250 million, which is $80 million below what the president requested for, the CFTC continues to be grossly underfunded. In another area, the feeding of the world, I'm concerned about the lack of flexibility given to USAID in the use of these funds.
Farr also praised the nearly $1.5 billion for the U.S. flagship global feeding program, Food for Peace, that he says saves tens of millions of lives each year. Well, the Pork Checkup partners with the U.S. Meat Export Federation to develop international markets. Now, according to Pork Checkup Vice President of International Marketing, Becca Knappel, USMEF recently hosted a meeting for industry stakeholders.
We had an in-depth analysis of market conditions, key export destinations, competition, as I said, and also foreign suppliers. So a really healthy meeting in that, you know, we delved into a lot of the issues and hopefully be able to address some things and make sure that U.S. pork is promoted globally.
U.S. pork exports have struggled in the past 2 years. Much of that downturn can be attributed to the decision by Russia to close its market.
The Russians closed import access for pork and other commodities from Canada, the European Union, and the U.S. And while the U.S. wasn't exporting much pork to Russia, now we have to compete with the product that the EU and Canada was exporting. So those countries or regions have really adapted quickly and been aggressive in marketing in some of the regions that we kind of held as our export destination. So a lot of that competition is a big factor, as well as the West Coast pork situation last year that really got us behind and kind of that made the U.S. really look like an unreliable source because we had products stuck at the ports for months.
Knappel says U.S. is recognized as having high-quality pork but has faced intensive competition in global markets. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. Well, before we took the break, said we were going to come back and talk about what's going on with the soybeans. Maybe not so much today because we're really not up there. We did start out the day really up like 20-some points this morning, but that's come back down. Well, fund managers and commodity traders are pouring money into the U.S. grain markets, helping soybeans rally a dollar higher in recent weeks. Now, last week, Pro Farmer reported trading volume for corn and soybeans reached the highest level ever. Pro Farmer editor Brian Green explained what's behind the recent market moves for soybean futures.
Well, what we've seen in the soybean market over the past 6 weeks is a huge change in the money flow from funds being net short and an aggressive net short position to now building a long position and quite a sizable long position. And it's had a dramatic impact on soybean prices with the over $1 rally that we've seen here. I think that the rally has gone on much longer than anybody anticipated and been much greater than anyone anticipated. And when you get into situations like that, it's hard to predict how much higher it'll go. But we're knocking on the doorstep of a 10 handle here in soybean futures, and I don't think that anybody anticipated that that would be the case.
Greet says there's some fundamental backing for the recent market moves. The South American harvest is limping to the finish line as parts of Argentina remain too wet and Brazil's too dry, trimming Brazil's record production. However, Greet cautions.
Sometimes there are reasons and sometimes there aren't reasons, and the market just does what it wants to do. And I think that what we're looking at now, and we've talked about this in Pro Farmer newsletter and on our website, profarmer.com, but it definitely has some fundamental backing. But by the same token, you still look at it and you're looking at carryover of well over 400 million bushels on old crop here in the U.S., global carryover, which is projected to be record large for 2015-16, and it just doesn't all add up, the fact that the funds have been so aggressive.
Planting season in the U.S. is well underway, and Greet says farmers should be looking closely at the market as they put in new crop and put their new crop in the ground.
Well, I think it's a selling opportunity anytime we see price strengthen here, and we've talked about this with our Pro Farmer members, but in years like this, and you're looking at tight margins, when you get price rallies like this, you have to take advantage of them. And so that's first and foremost there. The other thing to keep in mind is that the March planting intentions, the corn number was way bigger than anticipated, 93.6 million acres. And everybody said, well, it's probably the high water mark, including us. But now you're looking at it with the rapid planting pace, and I think you're probably starting to take some of that and say, well, if the corn planting remains this rapid, we probably aren't going to back off of that March intentions number as much as anticipated, which takes away a few of those soybean acres that everybody kind of expected would shift over from corn based on the price performance.
Now, given the current farm economy, Greet says it's critical that farmers have quality information to make market decisions.
We give you the news, analysis, and advice to make smart decisions for your farming operation. So we equip you with the information that you need to stay in business through the long haul. So when we go through these down periods, 2015, 2016, where margins are tighter and things are a little bit tight, we give you the information so that you can make those decisions to keep you going so that you're farming in 2017, 2018, and on and well into the future.
Now, you can sign up for a free trial of the Pro Farmer Newsletter at shopfarmjournal.com. Well, as we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture, ever since USDA released the prospective plantings report the 31st of March, many have been wondering if farmers will decide to switch a few corn acres to soybeans. Now, the higher price of soybeans seems to make that more likely. Farmers told USDA in March they'd plant about 82.2 million acres of soybeans. Now, this is 1% less than last year and a million acres or so less than a trade had really expected. Now, prices have rallied since then, and University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good thinks that million acres could be back in play, but that won't really change much.
Yeah, I tend to think there will be some modest switching given the price reaction we've had since that report was released. Soybeans are considerably stronger than when the survey was done, and corn prices are steady to a bit weaker than when the farmers were surveyed. So I wouldn't be surprised to see up to a million acres perhaps move away from corn to soybeans or perhaps some other crops. But again, a million acres probably doesn't alter the supply expectation very much.
However, very much can result in pretty good rally. Daryl Good and colleague Scott Irwin put together a supply and demand table for this year. They added 800,000 planted acres to soybeans, putting the figure at 83 million even. The two project that could result in 267 million bushel ending stocks number, with an average cash price of $9.45 a bushel this year.
Our calculation of trend yield for both corn and soybeans would be a bit less than USDA's calculated trend. So we start a little lower than they start. And then we continue to monitor the El Nino episode that tends to be fading pretty quickly right now. And that suggests to us that we may have an elevated risk of below trend yields this year. So we start with a lower trend yield on corn, 166.2. And then I'd want to fade that three or four bushels in my expectation right now. We'd start at 45.2 bushels on soybeans and fade that a bushel or so based on the El Nino.
That's Inside Agriculture. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.